Welcome back to Alliances Heroes, where heroes in business align. To be part of our super community and find out more about Alliances, visit www.alliances.com. Now, back to our super host, David Kogan, founder of Alliances.
Oh my gosh, what an incredible morning. I mean, we started off with the CEO of Voices.com, over 200,000 voices part of his database. And we were just on with the entrepreneur sister of Van Halen's David Lee Roth. That's Lisa Roth with Rockabye Baby. And we'll be ending the show with the founder of Spartan Race at Spartan.com, more than 1 million participants. But let me talk to you about our next hero. I mean, talk about saving frustration. I can't wait to share with you what he is doing. How many times do you get those robocalls? I mean, this is even when you're not on, when you're on the do not call list. Doesn't matter. You still get those robocalls. Politicians use them all the time, right? Our next hero, he is the CEO of Umail, the flagship app we're going to talk about that, can you believe this, stops robocalls with its highly accurate caller ID and smart blocking technology. And we have the CEO, Alex Kulichi. Alex, how does this work? And tell me about the smart blocking technology.
Hi, David. Well, in summary, what Umail does is when it detects that a robocaller has called you, it plays them a do-dee-da out-of-service message. And that fools them into thinking your phone is out of service and that they should put you on a list to stop calling. In essence, Umail has a whole bunch of data that tells us who the bad guys are, and we fool the bad guys into thinking that your phone number is not a valid one, and then they stop calling it.
And you could reach Alex by going to umail.com. That's Y-O-U-M-A-I-L.com. You can also go to alliances.com, where entrepreneurs align. We'll have the link on there, E-L-I-A-N-C-E-S.com. Now, Alex, I know your company is growing by leaps and bounds because, I mean, your history, you were the co-founder and CEO of Quack.com. I love this. This provided the consumer voice portal service that it was essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, Siri over an 800 number way before there was even smartphones, right?
That's exactly right. When you had a dumb phone, the only way you could get information was by calling someone. And so we provided a service that you could talk to extract the info you needed. Very much like how you press the button on your iPhone to talk to Siri now.
Now, were you in shock? Because in just 18 months after it was founded, AOL comes along and acquires it for, well, $200 million?
I wouldn't say we were in shock. We had our head down and we were all working very hard. And so, you know, when we came to the attention of a relatively big company, we did our best to produce something that they'd like. So for us, it wasn't shock. It was just, hey, it looks like somebody actually likes and values the technology and service we're building. So it was a great feeling.
So talk about that feeling. I mean, what do you do the next day after the contracts are signed and they're like, okay, here it is, $200 million?
Well, they all said, you know, now it's time to work for AOL for a while. So they bought us in order to provide the service we had been doing to our users to all the AOL users out there. So that was a big challenge to scale it up and launch, you know, AOL-compatible services. So we kept our heads down and just kept working.
In fact, because you became, right, the vice president of voice services for AOL, and you did incredible things, launching over 1 million paying subscribers, over $50 million in annual revenue. I mean, how did you make that transition?
You know, it wasn't that hard. You're leading a team when you're a startup, and you're building products and services. Well, when you get bought by a bigger company, you're leading your team, and it's just a different context. And there's, you know, more people around, and it's a bigger organization. So for us, it was actually a really nice transition to go from the startup to the bigger environment, because the reason you do this sort of thing is you want to scale it and get as many people using it as possible. And so having a big company buy you really lets you get that scale quickly.
So then what motivated you after this then to go ahead and start and do umail.com?
You know, it's when there's problems out there that need to be solved, entrepreneurs really feel compelled to try to solve them. And in our case, we saw that that there's a lot of small business people, sole proprietors, who live and die by their phone. and they needed an alternative to voicemail. They were losing customers when customers called voicemail. They were, you know, spending all their time picking up robocalls. They weren't able to do and get back to people quickly. So we said, hey, let's see if we can do better than the voicemail service that comes with your carrier. And from that, Umail was born.
Incredible. And again, we have Alex, the CEO of Umail.com, and you're listening to Alliance's Heroes with me, David Kogan. Be a hero. Go to where entrepreneurs align. Be part of the community at Alliances.com. That's Alliances.com. So tell me, are there different types of robocalls that are out there?
Yeah, they fall roughly into a couple of classes, right? So one is payment reminders. The single biggest source of robocalls is your credit card company reminding you you're late on a payment, your cell phone saying you didn't make your payment for this month, your car loan, your mortgage. That's just an enormous number of payment reminders and debt collection calls. The second biggest category are scammers. They're the people who pretend that they're Microsoft or pretend that they're the IRS and try to get you to go into a 7-Eleven, buy a prepaid card, and send it to them. So the robocalls primarily fall into those two classes, at least the problematic ones. There are also robocalls that people want, the school district reminding you it's a snow day, for example, the hospital reminding you to take your medicine. It's a bit tricky, but those are sort of the three big classes of robocalls: payment reminders, scammers, and then what we would call the good kind of calls, where you get notified of something valuable.
And how easy is it to use and sign up and, you know, take care of it all? How long does something like that take?
So for Umail, if you're on, you know, one of the normal mobile phone carriers, AT&T, Verizon, et cetera, you have to go to the App Store, download our app, put in some info, dial a few special codes, and then we replace your voicemail. So we become the voicemail service on your phone. And once you've done that, we're automatically taking care of the robocalls. Your phone generally won't ring when the bad guys call. They'll hear the out-of-service message. And over time, there's fewer and fewer of those calls.
Now, you went out and you got funding for this business, correct?
Yes, we did.
What are a couple secrets that you can share for those that are out there also working on getting funding?
So the biggest thing with getting funding is showing you have an idea that has traction. So you've got some users, you've got a product that looks compelling. You have to have something that everybody can look at and believe could change the world somehow and provide good returns as an investor. So the number one thing is just concentrate on getting some meaningful traction with whatever you've got so that people will say, hey, you know what? I want to get in on this and help it grow.
I mean, you got backed by some major ventures, Vantage Point Capital Partners, Wavemaker Ventures, Tech Coast Angels, Ace Fund, Crunch Fund, Tech Coast Angels. I mean, the list just goes on and on. That's a huge accomplishment.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, the second one is always easier than the first for raising money. So when we did Quack, we were some guys in a garage, and it was pretty hard to convince people to invest in us. We got some angels, went to some smaller funds. It took a while. With a track record of a good exit and some, you know, corporate experience, becomes much easier to raise money the next time.
Now,
and so it was easier for Umail than it had been for Quack.
Now, Alex, we got a little less than a minute left, but I need to ask, you know, we've got a lot of parents that are listening out there and maybe, you know, children that are getting involved in entrepreneurship and stuff. What advice do you have for children who are wanting to develop something revolutionary and maybe have the dream of being able to sell it to such a large company like you have, and yet not just stop there and stay at home and eat bonbons and watch reality shows? You go to the next step and you create again another company. What advice do you have for the children out there?
I think the main thing is do what you love. And when you go to do a company, don't do it for the money. Do it because there's a problem that you're passionate about solving. If you do that, then things will likely go your way over time because you're excited and happy to go in every single day and work on your problem or your company.
Well, I got to tell you, Alex, you created the future of call systems. You're a visionary. You bring ideas into reality. You're a hero. Alex Quilici at umail.com. Again, Youmail.com. This is David Kogan with Alliances. And when we return, we're going to have Mr. Spartan himself, the founder of Spartan Race, number one obstacle race company in the world.